Okay, well, I've got some good news for you today. How many here can bear to stand some good news? All right, up until this point, 2009 may have been difficult for you, friends. It may seem that challenge after challenge has popped its ugly head in your life. Maybe, for some of you, it's a lack of money. For others, maybe it's depression in your emotions. Maybe for others, it's an inability to sleep at night. For other people, maybe it's an addiction of some sort. For others, it's a relationship problem with a loved one or a friend. And for other people here, maybe you're dealing with physical illness today. But my message to you, God's message, is that something good is going to happen to you. Say it with me today. Something good is going to happen to me. All right. Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, and the God we serve, is the author of good things. He's about to turn your bad situation into a good one. He's about to transform your setback into a comeback. You know, you may have been told in the past by some preacher, by some literature, that God is at fault for the thing that has happened in your life, the negative thing. Friend, I'm here to tell you that whoever said that, whoever wrote that, was inspired by the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. Good things come from God. God is the author of good for us. And it's in the Word of God. I'm not making this up. It's straight out of the Bible. If you got a Bible, you want to turn there? If not, I'll read it. James 1, verses 16 and 17. James 1, 16 and 17. When you got it, raise your heads if you have a Bible. All right. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Verse 17. Every good and what? Perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It's plain. What type of gift is from above? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Let's see what Jesus says about this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 11. Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He says, if you then, being evil or having the sin nature as earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? If you ever doubt God's goodness, remember Matthew 7:11. How many here have heard the convenience store called 7-Eleven? Yeah. All right. Have them on the East Coast, pretty much. Maybe some other areas of America, but 7-Eleven has some pretty good things in it, right? If it's really hot outside one day, you can go into a 7-Eleven and buy a cold drink. You know, if it's really cold one morning, you can go in there and buy something warm to warm you up, right? There's good things in 7-Eleven, so whenever you doubt God's goodness, remember 7-Eleven. It's got good things, and remember Matthew 7-11. It tells us that God is the author of good things, and he's got something good for you. Amen? At the end of Matthew 7-11, it says this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? To those who ask him. My question today is this. How do we ask or approach God for the good thing that he has for us? How do we ask or approach God for the good thing he has in store for us? Okay. We're going to look at several different accounts from the Gospels. Matthew chapter 8. Many have heard the story of the centurion. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10. When you got it, lift up your head. All right. Verse 5. Matthew 8, 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." Verse 7. Verse 8, the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Here's the key. Such great faith. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Next account, Matthew chapter 9, one chapter over, verses 27 through 30. Again, the message is something good is going to happen to you. Matthew 9, 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, here's the key, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Verse 30. And their sight was what? Was restored. Next account. Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus. Chapter 10. Mark 10. Verse 46. Yes. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Verse 52. "Go," said Jesus, here's the key, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now if you look at verse 47, it says that Bartimaeus, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout. What does this tell us in verse 47? It says something to me. It says that blind Bartimaeus knew about Jesus. He had heard about him. He knew that Jesus was the miracle-working God, God the Son in the flesh. He knew about Jesus. And he wanted this miracle-working God to heal him. He knew about him. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, that the same Jesus, the same miracle-working God, is in the house today. And he wants to do something good in your life because he is the author of all good things. Don't let anybody or anything tell you differently. Now, we read three accounts, right? Three different stories of people who were healed. What is the key, the common thread running through those accounts that caused these people in these situations to receive the good thing that God had for them? What was it? It was exactly faith. Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." Your doubt has healed you? No. Your faith has healed you in just about every instance that we studied. And if you go back to Matthew 7, verse 11, he says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So we're to ask God and approach God for the good thing he has for us in what? In faith. Now, what is faith? Now, let me ask you this first. Let me say this first. If God expected faith from those people to receive the good thing he had for them, he expects no less from us today. He requires the same type of faith. What does the Word of God say about Jesus in Hebrews 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who required faith from those people to receive their good thing requires the same faith of us today to receive the good thing he has for us. Would you agree? Because he's the same miracle-working God present with us today. Amen? Now, let me ask you this. What is faith? Think of the word faith. What? One at a time. One at a time. First person?
Believing.
Believing. Okay, anybody else?
Believing in yourself.
She says believing in yourself? No, believing in?
Believing in
God. Okay, one at a time. That's it. Yes. Believing in something you don't necessarily see. That's a good answer. All right. All good answers. It's believing. It's a knowing. Believing in something you can't see with your physical eyes. Faith, the way I define it is this. It's a knowing that you know in your knower right here that God is able to do for you the good thing that his word promises for you that he will do in your life without a shadow of doubt entering your mind and heart. Not even for a moment, not even for a millisecond should you let doubt enter your heart about the good thing God is able to do for you. That is true faith. Think of the little girl who loves her daddy, and I've said this before, 3 years old. She loves her daddy, and daddy comes home from a long day's work at 6:30 at night, knocking on the door. This is just an example. The little girl goes running to the door. She knows it's daddy, the daddy who loves her. She loves daddy. She jumps up on daddy and hugs him and kisses him and knows that her daddy loves her. Knows that her daddy provides her shelter, her food, her place to sleep. What does she have in daddy, if you would? She has faith and trust in daddy. She doesn't doubt daddy's goodness even for a moment. That's the kind of faith that God is looking for in us. A childlike faith that does not doubt his goodness even for a moment. Knowing that he's a good God and he's got something good in store for you. If doubt enters your mind, remember Matthew 7:11 that he gives good gifts to those who ask. If the thought ever comes into your mind that maybe the bad thing that's happened to you was a result of God, say no, Satan. The Word of God says in James 1:16 and 17 that every good and perfect gift comes from above, Amen. From the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Faith, what is it? A knowing that you know right here in your knower that God is able to do this good thing in your life. Be it overcoming an addiction, physical healing, financial provision, joy in place of depression, reconciliation of a broken relationship. God wants to do it for you, friend. Don't let anyone or anything tell you any differently. Do you agree? Amen? You know, just recently, we do a lot of work amongst the homeless here in downtown Tulsa. Services every month, many services, outreaches. And back in July of this year, July of 09, the ministry funds were getting a little low. And, you know, it takes financial resources to keep the work going, right? Whether it be a big ministry or a small ministry. And right now, this is a smaller ministry. But it also requires funds to continue operating so we can buy the food and buy the clothing items and the Bibles and so forth. And I was getting a little discouraged. You know, the funds were kind of low. There wasn't much in the bank. But I just knew that I knew on the inside that God was going to provide. I had faith that God was able to do what his word said he could do. And so I came back from a trip from New York that I took in July and opened up my email account, and praise God, in my email it says that you have received a donation from such and such a person. And it was more than enough to cover our expenses. That was the thing I was needing in my life at that time. God is good all the time. He caused that good thing to come into this ministry so that you guys could be provided for. If God did it for me, He can do it for you. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. He's looking for faith, a knowing that you know without the shadow of a doubt, even for a millisecond, entering your mind or heart. Faith is good. God wants us to know that we know that we know. But in addition to faith, God wants faith plus, here's the next point. Faith plus, it's very essential. It's important that we realize this. What is it? Applying it. Okay, anybody else? One at a time. Faith plus. Anybody? Works. That's good. Let's look at what James says about this in James 2:17. James 2:17. This is what he writes. The same way faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works, faith without actions, James writes, is essentially a dead faith. It's a dead faith. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, you know what, I'm just believing God that He's going to drop this miracle into my life. I just know that I know that I know on the inside God is going to do this. And yes, God requires faith. He requires that knowing that you know on the inside. Because the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:6 that it's what that pleases God? Faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. But some people just sit around and they say, I just know, sitting on this chair all day or sitting on this couch or sitting in front of this TV, that God is going to drop into my lap this miracle that I need because He's a good God. And all that is true. He can give it to you. But you know, the financial blessing may not just drop out of the sky. Certain miracle that you need may not just be dropped into your lap. God is requiring faith plus action. You've got to do something with the faith you claim to have in God. That's it. Remember, Matthew 8:5, we read about the centurion's faith. He just knew that he knew that he knew that Jesus could heal the servant. He said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my place. I just know you'll say the word and my servant will be healed. But the centurion had to do something with his faith. He knew that Jesus could heal the servant. But what did he do? What action did he take in line with his faith? Think about this. He got up from where he was, the Word of God says. It doesn't say this, but he got up from where he was and he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. So in other words, we understand that he got up from where he was and took an effort. He was proactive in coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I know you can do this miracle for me. So the centurion had faith plus action operating in his life. Does that make sense? Think about the two blind men in Matthew 9:27-30. They just knew that they knew that, they knew that Jesus could restore their physical sight. But they didn't just sit there, did they? They did what? They took action. They got up from where they were and they came to Jesus. Is that making sense? Is this making sense? It says in Matthew 9:28, they came, the blind men came to him. Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus. He just knew that he knew that he knew that Jesus, the miracle working God that was close by, was able to restore his sight. He had faith that Jesus could do it for him. But in line with his faith, what did he have? Action. What did he do? If you read it, in verse 47, he shouted. He did something with his mouth. What did he shout? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse 50, it says he jumped to his feet and he came to where Jesus was. So it was faith plus action. And God expects no less from us today because He's the same God who never changes. It's going to take faith, knowing that you know, plus action that will bring about the miracle that you have God, you have faith in God for. Making sense? You might be needing more money in your life. I just know that I know that God is going to provide this extra sum of money in my life, or this sum of money every single week in my life. It's good that you know that you know. It's good that you have faith that Christ can do this for you. But you know what? It may take you diligently every day filling out job applications, diligently setting up interviews, talking to potential employers, filling out applications, doing interviews. That's what? That is action added to your faith, knowing that God can provide more finances for you. You may be struggling with an addiction, be it alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or something else. And you're there believing, I know that my God can give me the victory over this bondage, this oppression, this addiction. It's good that you know that, and God requires faith. But He's also requiring you doing what? You doing something to overcome that addiction. What could you do? You can take classes here in Tulsa. There's classes offered. I've seen signs up here in downtown Tulsa. It says, addiction? To me, that's telling me that they have courses for you to take to overcome that addiction. You've got to do something with the faith you claim you have in Christ for the good thing to come into your life. Amen. You know, you might be believing, I just know that I know this relationship, this broken relationship with this person is going to be reconciled in my life. But knowing that and sitting there is going to get you nowhere. God is glad that you know. He's glad that you have faith in Him. But you've got to get up and do something about it. What could you do? Okay. Right. Or
you think you're going to go through the classes and go through all that, get established, you got to make sure you don't get robbed. Okay, I'm sorry.
Reconcile that relationship. You might have to just be proactive. Pick up the phone and call the person that you're out of relationship with. You might need to write them a letter. You might need to just grant them a visit. Take the first steps. That's action. In addition to your faith, so that God could bring about the miracle of a reconciled relationship in your life. Maybe it's physical illness. Maybe you've got high blood pressure. Maybe an unhealthy heart. High cholesterol. And you're thinking today, I just know that I know deep down in my knower that God is going to heal me just like that. He's going to drop the physical healing into my life. God is glad. He's glad that you know that you know. He requires that faith, but He requires us, you, doing something in line with the faith you claim you have. You may need to change a few things around. Maybe start exercising more consistently, walking, running, right? Maybe a better diet plan. Friends, exercise, a diet plan, these are what? These are actions in line with your faith. It's faith plus works that makes your faith alive and working. You getting the point today? I watched a movie a few months ago called Touch the Top of the World. Touch the Top of the World. How many have seen it? No, I've talked about this before. Touch the Top of the World is about a blind man. It's a true story. Named Eric Weinmeier, the first physically blind man to summit Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. Good movie. If you haven't seen it, rent it. It's called Touch the Top of the World. And you'll see the whole story, how his life progresses, and he finally faces this challenge. He wants to climb Mount Everest with a group. It's the tallest mountain, friends. It takes months to climb it. And this man had on the inside, he had a knowing that he knew in his knower that he could climb the mountain even though he was physically handicapped. He was blind. He just knew that he could do it. I wouldn't say it was a God kind of faith, but it still was just a knowing inside. He could climb the mountain. And guess what? At the end of the movie, he summits, gets to the very top of Mount Everest. He knew that he knew on the inside, but that wasn't enough. He had to do something with his knowing. He did what? He added action to his faith, to his knowing. He worked hard with a group of men. They encouraged him. It was tough. I mean, some of the men turned away. They couldn't make it. But Eric Weinmeier was determined through the thick and the thin and got to the very top of the mountain. Incredible feat. Incredible feat. Friends, you may not have a physical handicap like blindness, but maybe you have some other type of handicap. Something that has tried to hold you back. Maybe a parent who talked down on you. Physically abused you, emotionally abused you, somebody in some relationship hurt you some way, said you would never amount to anything, and maybe those things are trying to hold you back. Rebuke those thoughts that come into your mind in the name of Jesus. They're not from God. Just know that you know that you know on the inside, which is faith, that God is able to do the good thing in your life that His Word promises He will do for you. And then just don't sit there expecting it to happen. You've got to, with your faith, you've got to action, do something in walking towards that miracle. Amen? Did you get the point today? Something good is about to happen in your life. It takes faith plus works. Faith plus action. For that faith to be made effective and alive. Amen?